Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal, the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot. Welcome to the world of the paranormal.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, and Pat Rice will be joining us here in a moment. Hope everybody is having a fantastic Tuesday this evening. Tonight, we're going to have a paranormal roundtable. It's just going to be me and Pat chatting about various paranormal things going on out in the world, and maybe we'll get a caller or two that will be willing to share us a story. And while we're waiting for Pat to connect, I do have a couple stories that I wanted to share with everyone, a couple brief stories. One of the stories is, if you know, we have some listeners out in the UK, and there is a story that's circulating, or mainly just a picture that's circulating, of a giant crab. Yes, you heard it. A giant monstrous crab has been spotted via I believe it was a satellite picture. And hey, there's Pat.
I'm here, Jace. Yeah, sorry about my lateness. I was working on some techie things that could only be done at that moment to get everything perfect. How are you, Jason?
I am doing fantastic.
Good. I heard something about a giant crab.
Yeah.
Please, so go on.
Yeah, so there's this, it looks like a satellite image, and it's in the UK. I don't know exactly where, but it shows this giant crab in the water, you know, so you can see its outline. And I've looked at the picture, and it clearly is a crab. So maybe it's some photoshopping, I don't know. But they are estimating this Crabzilla, as they call it, to be at least 50 feet in diameter, a 50-foot crab. Now, mind you, the largest crab on the planet that we are aware of is some Japanese spider crab. I think it grows into, has a diameter or whatever, width of 12 feet and weighs about 40 pounds. But this is supposedly a 50-foot crab lurking off the coast of the UK. So for the swimmers out there, you're going to want to be careful, because I think it'd snap you in half like a French fries. And what I'm thinking, the first thought that comes to my mind is, how much butter are you going to need for that crab?
Well, that, like, that'd crab. Be a lot. I mean, that would feed a lot of people, Jason.
Yeah, so you're going to need more than, say, like a few sticks of butter to lather that baby up.
I know, but how would you catch the crab if it was 50 feet? You know,
traditional
method would not work. Where you have a crab trap, that would be quite the catch, as you could say.
Yeah, you were breaking up there a little bit. But yeah, that would be I don't know how you'd catch it. I suppose you'd have to have a very big boat with a big net on it.
Yes. Now, tell me if I'm breaking up again, Jason, then I'm going to call in a different way.
Okay. Yeah, you sound good right there.
Okay. It seems like when right I now. Moved... I put my hand kind of near the microphone, so I will not do that again.
Don't move. Don't move. Stay perfectly still. You don't want to mess with the electronic airways.
Right. Here on Paranormal Horizons, you never know what's going to happen. And I wanted to remind everyone out there, number one, thank you for listening, everyone, whether you're listening to Blog Talk Radio or you're catching the show on KIPTFM.com Saturdays at 10 o'clock Pacific time.
Oh, you're breaking up again bad.
Okay, you know what? I'll call in another way.
Okay. I've got another story I'll talk about while
you're
here. So we're going to wait for Pat to come back on another line. And there was another story that I did have. A woman in China managed to get trapped within the walls of an apartment complex. Apparently, the woman tried to take a shortcut into a small passageway between two walls and got stuck. She was yelling and crying repeatedly for a long time. And nobody was really investigating it. Now, this is the paranormal part. Apparently, the residents of the building believed that it was a ghost. So all her screaming and banging on the walls, nobody investigated because they thought it was some sort of poltergeist. So eventually, after many hours, a pedestrian came by and investigated the sounds and screams and found her trapped. And she was stuck in the wall for 7 hours. Can you imagine that? Banging and screaming for 7 hours? Yeah, it's... Yeah, so if anybody out there is hearing screaming, you might want to investigate it. It's not always the paranormal.
That's a good point. And, you know, we might start hearing a lot of screaming because it's getting close to Halloween, Jason.
Whoa.
Yeah. And, it, you know, I cannot believe how big Halloween has gotten over the last few years. Do you think it's become a bigger event than it used to be?
I absolutely do.
Yeah.
Yes. I've got a couple friends on Facebook, and they literally live for Halloween. So as soon as Halloween is over, they're already prepping for the next one. You know, they've got this counter counting down the days to Halloween.
Yeah, figuring out what they'll do next year. Now, here in my neighborhood, where I live in Oregon City, so for those of you that are in Oregon and listening, if you want to check this out, over off of Gaffney Lane, which is off of Malala, there is someone, and actually I have a picture of this, and I'll post it on our Paranormal Horizons Facebook page, Jason. This family built a gigantic spider on their roof. And so the whole body of the spider is taking up the roof, and then the legs of the spider come all the way down to the ground. It is unbelievable. And then they have a whole graveyard in the front of their yard, and they have like a dummy that looks like a person, and the spider is eating the dummy. And I mean, it's amazing that how they built that, and everybody's been driving around and looking at it. So I wanted to get even some pictures of myself in front of the spider for our Facebook page. So something to look forward to: a giant spider on a roof made out of plastic garbage bags.
Too bad it wasn't a crab. I guess it wouldn't be really Halloween.
Yeah, I know. You were talking about these gigantic things. Yeah, the crab may be real, maybe. The spider is not, although they just did an amazing job of this spider. But that's what, you know, people just kind of go crazy with the Halloween. And, you know, Halloween is the eve of All Saints Day, and it's supposed to be the evening where in the paranormal world, you know, the portals are open. And anything can happen.
Yeah. Where was Halloween originated from? Isn't it like some ancient pagan thing? Like, where did it come from?
Yeah, and we'll talk about that more, I think, the week of the 27th as it gets closer to Halloween. But yeah, there's a whole ancient thing, you know, history about Halloween and how different cultures have celebrated it, and we'll provide more information on that later because I don't have all those details right in front of me. But it's kind of interesting that how people, you know, some people take it, you know, just as a fun night to goof around. Some people take it really seriously in the paranormal world and, you know, prepare themselves for possible paranormal activity that could happen.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you always hear about these cultists out there, you know, doing stuff on Halloween, like it's some sort of powerful time of the energy. I know nothing
yeah.
about it. I'm an idiot on the magical arts and
yeah,
what the
well,
meaning of holidays
are. Yeah, well, that's because the portals are open. Yeah, you know, and the energy is supposed to be really good. But we can talk about that, and who knows, maybe by then we'll have a guest lined up that knows a little bit more about it than we do, because that's what we like to do here on Paranormal Horizons, is have guests that know more about these subjects than we do.
Yeah, I can't be an expert on everything.
No, no. No, you can't. So, now, an interesting story that I came across, Jason, and I know, you know, you and I, we've talked about this before, and I know how you feel about fairies. And I'm talking about the little ones that fly around. And
I wish I had a sound effect. I really do.
We'll have to work on that. But I came across this. Okay, that's pretty good.
It's as close as I can get.
The cat. But this story came out earlier this year, but I just came across it. And it's called Rosendale Fairies. Skeptics swarm over alleged fairy photos. And here's kind of how the story goes. I'm going to just read it. It's pretty short. A British professor is getting a swarm of attention for a series of photos depicting tiny creatures that he suggests look like fairies. And the picture that is shown, they really do look like little fairies. He claims that he was taking a walk about sunset through the trees, and he liked to take pictures, you know, on his walks, and he saw these little flying figures, he says. So he just took a bunch of pictures. And then when he downloaded the pictures and started looking at them, you know, he said, wow, you know, these creatures, they don't look like normal insects. It was a bit of a shock when I blew them up. I did a double take, he told the Manchester Evening News. This happened in England. I went out afterwards and took pictures of flies and gnats, and they just don't look the same. So, yeah, and it does. I mean, the picture that they have, you know, it looks, there's wings, and then it looks like these little creatures that have legs. You can't see any faces or anything like that. However,
I think I've seen those. I saw those like a month ago. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Really?
Yeah, I've
yeah,
seen those
and
pictures.
Then, but there's an entomologist, Erica McLaughlin. She works or writes in the British Natural History Museum blog, and she says that this is most likely a small species of fly known as the midge, M-I-D-G-E. These tiny midges form mating swarms where the males will dance around trying to attract the opposite sex, she writes. They have delicate wings and long legs which dangle down.
Hmm.
So there you have it. But I tell you, when you see these pictures, and who knows if they were really doctored up, they really do look like cute little fairies. If there are fairies, and if that's what they look like.
I feel the same about fairies as I do about leprechauns when we were talking about leprechauns.
Yeah, same category.
I don't believe in them, nor do I believe in giant crabs either.
I know. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking with Mord McGee, for those of you that might have listened. Now, he's a book author. He's written a book, Ghosts of San Francisco, Tales of Eclipse, which is kind of a sci-fi book, really good book, though. And we were all talking about Loch Ness, and then he had the other kind of American equivalent to the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, yeah.
And here in the States, and I, you know, there's so much skepticism around that too. You know, who knows if that's really true? I guess seeing is believing.
You know, with those kind of things, we're up here in Oregon. I've spent so much time. I mean, I used to essentially live out in the middle of nowhere, you know, hiking, rock hunting, fishing, and not one time have I ever seen any sort of strange animal, any cryptid monster, anything like that. Not once.
Darn.
Now, maybe that doesn't mean they don't necessarily exist, but I think it's one of those things where I've seen UFOs, but I've never seen a strange animal. So I'm one of those guys that has to go out and actually see it, and then I'll be like, oh, wow, maybe I was wrong about Bigfoot, you know?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Now your phone broke up a little bit there, Jason, but it got kind of fuzzy, but then it came back strong. So,
uh-oh.
Sorry to the audience about any technical problems that we have. Some shows are better than others in terms of technology.
Ghosts in the machine.
Ghosts in the machine, that's right. Yeah. So I know what you mean about seeing is believing, and you know, we've definitely talked with lots of folks on this show. You know, Bigfoot comes up, and although we've never really had a Bigfoot expert, if you will, Jason, we've been kind of searching around for the right guests on that, but we've talked a lot about theories about Bigfoot and, you know, all the way from Bigfoot is an alien to, you know, Bigfoot is nothing. So
yeah, I don't know. I've talked to everybody in the gambit, to the professors that know everything about Bigfoot, all the way to the people that claim they've shot Bigfoot. I've talked to them all. They're very convincing. They make a good argument, but I'm still skeptical on it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean about, you know, seeing is believing, and I've done, you know, a lot of reading and things like that about Bigfoot too, and I have no idea if he's real or not. And a lot of people probably made a lot of money off of Bigfoot, but yeah, have never actually gotten convinced myself that there really, really is one, but maybe someday we'll find out, you know? So.
Well, maybe we should do a live Bigfoot hunt, a live broadcast looking for Bigfoot.
That would be interesting. Although we'd have to go way out into the woods probably, but.
Yeah, as long as we have cell reception, we should be okay.
Yeah, we could. So, now, have you been following this Ebola crisis, Jason?
Not only have I been following it, I've had it shoved down my throat for the last 2 weeks because I'm in school in the medical field, and you know, we talk about all these standard and universal precautions, and of course, Ebola comes up, and you know, so yeah,
mm-hmm.
I get it from all ends.
Yeah, now, I was talking with a friend of mine, Isola, and actually she's going to be a guest on our show November 11th. And she's a psychic and a clairvoyant, and she's a numerology expert as well, and she's going to talk to us about that. But she and I were talking about Ebola and if the government is, you know, making this a bigger deal? Is this another conspiracy? I looked at a quick poll online, and they had four questions about Ebola, however you say it. Was, in your opinion, was it created in a lab on purpose? 47% said yes.
Wow.
9% said it was probably created in a lab, but by accident. And then 39% felt that it was spread from bats and monkeys. And 5% thought that it was a cannibalistic ritual cover-up.
Well,
that was
you
a
know,
joke,
I,
of course.
Yeah. I'm super huge into conspiracy. I've heard and read about just about every conspiracy out there. That did come across my plate as it being a conspiracy. However, even though I'm a total conspiracy buff, I'm inclined to believe that it is not a conspiracy. Unfortunately, in the world that we live in, there are various pathogens that, you know, they can't all be created in a lab. You know, we hear the same thing about AIDS and some other ones, but I don't think this Ebola outbreak is any conspiracy. Like I said, I've heard it. I mean, we can't always blame everything on a conspiracy. Sometimes it's convenient to. Sometimes there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that can point that direction. But in this case, my personal opinion, it is just an epidemic. Hopefully it doesn't become a pandemic. And it's just nature's way of thinning the herd, basically.
Yeah. Now, I just wanted to remind everyone out there, if you want to join the conversation and talk to myself, Pat Rice, or Jason about anything tonight, the number is 215-383-3999. 215-383-3999. The exception to that would be if you're listening to the show on Saturday, because that would be a rebroadcast. But if you're listening right now, give us a call if you want to talk about anything.
Giant absolutely.
Ebola, fairies,
Ebola infected giant crabs. If you know anything about those, please give us a call.
Yeah, definitely. We'd like some information on that. Now, the whole Ebola, I keep saying it wrong. It is definitely a scary, outbreak. I think it can be compared to smallpox or the plague, that happened, all those years ago, and they just don't know how to cure it. They don't have an actual cure. So hopefully in time they will.
Yeah, I think, all they can do for that is supportive care. I believe that they're working on some sort of trying to get some immunization. Now, that particular strain supposedly isn't as lethal as some of the other ones. But, the concern, of course, is everything tries, these viruses mutate. And if it were to become airborne, that could become a real problem. And if you look back in history, and, we're kind of on a non-paranormal tangent, but there have been some really bad pandemics in the past. You have the Middle Ages with the bubonic plague that wiped out 3/4 of the population of Europe. And then even as recent in the early 1900s, where we had that flu that killed millions of people, history will repeat itself. Hopefully this Ebola is not going to be the next scourge of humanity.
Yeah, definitely. They've really been talking, of course, a lot about it on the news, and it is pretty scary. I don't think that some of those countries where they've had the main outbreaks, I don't think I would want to go there right now. Does not sound like a good thing to do.
Well, you don't want to go to Liberia?
No.
I'm sure there's a popular vacation destination
Sierra
Leone.
Give me Hawaii, But, definitely we're probably going to hear more about that, of it being a conspiracy theory or a bioweapon or, some strange thing like that. So we're always open to talking with folks, just to have some intelligent conversation if anybody wants to talk to us about that. Again, the number is 215-383-3999. So,
yes. And you brought up Ebola, and that actually reminded me of something that was completely unrelated but even more frightening. And it's something that we discussed on the a ways back. I brought it up on one of the previous shows, was the Yellowstone caldera, the giant supervolcano.
Oh, yeah.
There's been some more news lately about that, about increased earthquake activity there.
Really?
So, yeah, and to remind the listeners, is that caldera usually erupts somewhere in the neighborhood of 640,000 years, and we're past that, so we're due. And, I mean, we're talking about an eruption that could be 10,000 times more powerful than Mount St. Helens. Anything within 100 miles will get wiped out. And, of course, that's not the biggest problem, is immediate proximity. It's, you know, you're talking 12 feet of ash, you know, covering the whole grain belt, food shortages, you know, the earth would cool down. I mean, it's really wrath of God, scary stuff. So
that is, yeah, it's kind of, you know, you can't mess with Mother Nature. And if something like that were to happen, I didn't live in Oregon when Mount St. Helens erupted. I was living in California at the time, but I had family that was living in Oregon, and even, you know, miles away, their cars and the houses were completely covered with ash from that eruption.
Mount St. Helens was a long time ago. I was a little kitten back then.
Yes. Yeah, but, so you probably don't have too much recollection about it, Jason, but it, you know, even some, when something like that happens, it can stop, you know, airplane travel because they can't fly, and the, you know, if there's, you know, so much ash in the air. So yeah, that's I hope that doesn't happen.
Yes, it's excuse me, it's really would change not just our own country but the world for years, decades. It would pretty much send North America and probably other parts of the world back to the Stone Age. I mean, forget your Google and Facebook and your instant messaging, because your power grid
is
going to be gone.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, gosh. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that. And let's see, what else did I, you know, actually, I've got a couple of other things to talk about, Jason, but I did want to bring up, and I thought we could play his commercial this evening, True Haunting, which is a book by Edwin Becker. And I finally, sometimes I read more than one book at a time, but I've finally almost through his book. He was a guest, I think, back in November of last year on our show. And his book is really interesting and well-written about a real haunting experience that he and his wife, Marcia, experienced. And what I found so fascinating about this book, and he talks about this when you talk to him, is that he was one of these people that not in a million years would he believe in a ghost.
Yes, you know, Ed seems very... Yeah, Ed seems very analytical and...
Yeah, very analytical. And they have this story that it happened in the 70s, and when they were a young couple and they had just bought a house and it needed a lot of repairs and fixing up, and that's what they did. And then the story unfolds from there, and it took him quite a while to believe that, you know, the house had some paranormal activity that wasn't very pleasant. So very well written book. True Haunting, Edwin Becker, and you can get his books, of course, on Amazon. He's on Facebook, and just a pleasure to have interviewed him in the past as well. And Marcia also, his wife.
Well, Marcia
too
creates these great rosaries. I mean, really fancy stuff with semi-precious stones. She sent me one. And anyone interested in looking at those, if you need a rosary but want, you know, a really high-quality one, you could check out her website at rosariesbymarcia.com, I believe.
Yeah, and they're blessed, too. They have, you know, blessings from the Catholic Church and, you know, all of her... She explains it all on her as you said, on her web page. So, yeah, why don't we go ahead and play his commercial tonight, Jason?
Okay, we'll do that right now. It's pretty short.
All right.
I'm author Edwin F. Becker. In 1971, there was a Chicago haunting so horrific that it was the first ever paranormal event televised by NBC, and a glimpse of a true exorcism. My book, True Haunting, tells the story. It is one that nearly destroyed my life and did destroy the lives of others. True Haunting is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or you can visit me at edwinbecker.com.
Right, there you have it. Edwin Becker's voice himself.
Yes, and you know, I am not a reader. I'm just a person that's gone through life not really enjoying reading books. I did read True Haunting, and it was one of the rare times to where it was really hard to put down. You know, a lot of times when you watch these horror movies, they're so dramatized, you know, and just out there, but you read his book and it's very believable. I totally believe 100% of his story.
Right.
I don't believe it to be embellished at all.
Right, exactly. And I want to read a couple sentences from his book, Jason, just to give the audience an idea. During this experience that they had in this house that ended up being haunted, they had a dog and a cat, and that was one of the signs that they started realizing was, you know, the dog and the cat were acting really weird and hearing things that just are reacting to things that they heard, you know, in really, you know, kind of defensive ways. So here's a quick sentence. Holly, that's the dog, Holly rose to a defensive position at the foot of our bed. Again, she was growling in her deep, wolf-like way. Kitty was hissing in the corner behind Holly. In the darkness, I could see nothing. Then she lunged out as if biting something, and whatever she saw was at the foot of the bed. Chills set in immediately as Holly lunged forward again, biting at the air. I jumped up and switched on the light. Holly stopped growling, only looking to me and whimpering, as if telling me about her ordeal. I patted her and eventually calmed her down. Eddie, this is getting crazy. Please, let's sell this place, Marcia was pleading. So that kind of gives you an idea of how the book is written, you know, from what really happened to them. So I do recommend that book to everybody.
Yeah, and now you're going to kind of freak me out because occasionally my cats look at stuff like that, you know, around the room that I can't see, and I'm always wondering if it's like a ghost or something. So it kind of freaks me out.
Yeah, we do know that animals hear things that we don't, you know, even outside. But we've talked to other folks on this show where they have said, "Yeah, my dog would go to a corner and bark, and I didn't know why." And then later on, they discovered, you know, that they did have a spirit hanging around. And that's interesting. Hey, everybody out there, thanks for listening to Paranormal Horizons. I'm Pat Rice with Jason Ophir. If you'd like to call in this evening, it's 215-383-3999. 215-383-3999 if you want to chat with us this evening. And we'll be here for about another half an hour on this evening's Paranormal Horizons show on Blog Talk Radio. All right. Yeah, so again, and the other book that I had mentioned that I wanted to talk a little bit about, Jason, was Ghosts of San Francisco, which is written by Mord McGee. And he was on the show, oh gosh, what, a couple weeks ago?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and same place you can get his book is Amazon, Barnes & Noble. He does have a Facebook page, and this is a real interesting book. It is a little bit more of a sci-fi, but it does have some paranormal stuff in it as well. So I'm about halfway through that book also, and it's very intriguing the way that he wrote the book, a kind of a real unique perspective, and it takes place in the future. So it's a futuristic type story.
No, so I love the future.
Yeah. So I like sci-fi a lot. I'm really into sci-fi movies and things like that. So I found that book quite interesting as well. All right.
Did you see the off-topic, not paranormal? Did you see the movie Prometheus?
No.
Oh, that's like one of the best sci-fi movies I've ever seen.
Okay, I don't think I have. I'm writing this down, Jason.
Yeah, Prometheus. Okay. It's I think it's almost a prequel to the original Alien.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's an amazing film. You got to see it.
Okay. I will. Yeah. What's it about? I mean, what happens in the movie?
Well, these guys, you know, they go up on a spaceship and, you know, they're cryogenically sleeping and they're investigating this planet and find a crashed giant UFO and an alien, and it's just super, super cool. And what's interesting, well, not really interesting about it, but it all originated from artwork that they had found in ancient caves on Earth, which kind of pointed to the map where they were going to go in space. So kind of like a star map and a cave on Earth, and that's what sent them that direction to investigate. And it's super awesome.
Yeah, that, you know, I think that I actually started watching that on Netflix and then got interrupted. So yes, it was really intriguing, but like I said, I didn't get to finish it, so I'll have to check that out. Prometheus.
Yeah, check it out.
So everybody out there, if you like sci-fi, check that out. Yeah. So any other news from any friends of Paranormal Horizons, Jason, that you have on your desk? Any announcements or anything?
Not really. I mean, you mentioned the conspiracy theory, and when I was talking about the Yellowstone caldera, there was a conspiracy theory tied to that, too, which I absolutely give it no weight whatsoever. And the conspiracy with the, you know, the super volcano in Yellowstone is that they are sending out these seismic trucks. So they're sending down certain wavelengths into the earth, trying to get the volcano to go off. I mean, it's absurd. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Like, why would you rush that? Oh, yeah, you know, if we can have Armageddon a couple years earlier, let's just do it. Let's get it out of the way.
Yeah, let's blow up the world,
so.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. So, I know, I don't, some of the conspiracy stuff is just, I guess, that's just really, you know, all it is. And I don't know. I'm
sure
where all that comes from.
I'm like a conspiracy encyclopedia, so I watch all that stuff. I know everything about almost everything conspiracy related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sometimes get into it, and a lot of times I don't, but yeah, I was just kind of jumping around here on subjects too. Jason, last week we had on the show Cherry Devine.
Yeah, that was a great show last week.
Yeah, it was really interesting, you know, some of the topics that came up and what she does. You know, she is able to communicate with a collective energy. And of, you know, people that are on, you know, on the other side, angels, ancient masters, and things like that. And I found it really fascinating to talk to her. And it was actually somebody that you've known. You worked with her years ago.
Yeah, we had a pretty serious occupation, and an occupation where there's no room for any kind of the ethereal kind of stuff. It was real serious jobs we had, and so it was interesting to find out that she went that direction, and then I kind of went my direction doing my whole paranormal thing, which is cool. And I know, you know, we talked about we're going to go see her November 1st in Portland.
Yeah, November 1st and 2nd, there's a event in Portland. I'm going to look up some of the details on it right now, Jason, while we're talking, so we can give people correct information. Yeah, we're going to be able to go see her. You haven't seen her in a long time.
A long time, yep.
Yeah, and I'll get to meet her. So, yeah, just as we talk, like I said, I'll look up this information of where that's going to be located. And,
yeah, I can talk about conspiracy if you want to look that up real quick.
Yeah.
So since we kind of touched on conspiracy, there are actually a lot of conspiracies throughout history that people thought were conspiracy theories that actually turned out to be true. Now keep in mind the vast majority of conspiracy theories out there are wholly not true, or maybe there's some truth to them, but there have been some cases. And I think I discussed on a previous show some ones that actually were true, and I don't remember all of them off the top of my head. But just because something, I mean, you always have to have an open mind. Just because something doesn't seem plausible doesn't mean it's not.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, when you start thinking about these government conspiracies, our government have done a lot of shady things over the decades. And there are things that they've done that have been really, really heinous in the past that we're just now learning about because these actual secret documents have been declassified. The government has done such shady things, such as spreading biological agents in the subway of San Francisco or spreading stuff over a town to see how people react. So these crazy mm-hmm. things do happen. And that's why you get a lot of this 9/11 conspiracy, which I'm sure there's some conspiracy there. To what extent, I don't know. But it's always keep in mind, for all those conspiracy haters out there that say, oh, well, you're just crazy. You know, they would never do that. No, they have done it, and they've done it in the past. So as history repeats itself, like I mentioned earlier, you know, mm-hmm. you always got to keep that in mind. There's been, you know, they did radiation testing on soldiers. You have MK Ultra, the declassified documents. There was a Senate hearing about the use of hallucinogens like LSD on unwilling people because they were trying to figure out if they could use LSD for mind control. So there's just so much out there that they've done in the past. So who knows? You know, maybe the government is trying to get the Yellowstone caldera to blow up early.
Oh, God, I hope not. But, yeah, you know, and we were talking a couple of weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, with Misha Johnston. And she is a person that has been abducted from a young age by aliens, good and bad. And she talked with us about that and shared some information. And she... We didn't get into it a lot with her, but there was some, you know, kind of a conspiracy vein kind of running through some of the things that the government has done with people and aliens, if you will, that, you know, there is, you know, some underground places where they already, you know, they have relationships with aliens and things like that, and it was kind of interesting. She has an organization called Starseed Experience Group because she wants to support others, experiencers is what she calls them. But she also looks at it from a positive perspective, though, that we are going into a spiritual awakening, you know, on this planet, and a lot of the aliens are coming to help us get through that as well.
Yeah, I've joined the group. I appreciate and respect her take on it being a growth thing, and perhaps it is. I've talked mm-hmm. about my own UFO experiences, and I don't see how you can turn that into a positive experience.
Yeah.
You know, you're just chilling at home at night, watching the television, the lights flicker, and suddenly you get all these aliens in your room controlling your mind, taking you on a ship, doing God knows what to you. I just, you know, yeah, I don't
yeah,
know.
That
it doesn't seem very...
No, that doesn't sound pleasant at all, Jason. And, yeah, so it was really interesting to talk to her kind of about her experiences. And Isola, my friend Isola that I talked about, we've been talking a little bit about aliens as well. It doesn't look like she's had time to call in this evening, but that some aliens are protectors and not, again, kind of the ones that want to do the experimental stuff. So that'll be another, you know, conversation in the future. But I just pulled up that information on the event here in Portland, Jason. It's called Body, Mind, Spirit Expo. It's November 1st and 2nd at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. In Portland. And it's not very expensive. I think it's like $11 or $12 to get into it. So looks like something that would be really interesting if you want to, you know, talk to, though I'm sure there'll be lots of psychics and folks who write books and things like that. I mean, body, mind, spirit, there'll probably be, you know, some body practitioners there, massage people, you know, things for health and all of that. So I love going to things like that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great place to make some contacts. You know, we've had guests from all over the country and, well, all over the world for that matter. And
yeah.
So it'd be nice to kind of get some locals on the show because we really haven't had a lot of that.
Yeah, that would be great. And it will be a really good chance to meet some new folks. And who knows, we'll probably see some folks there that we know, some of our other friends in the paranormal world for sure. So
I was going to ask you, since we were briefly talking about aliens, what is your truthful opinion? Do you believe that people are being abducted by aliens?
Yes. I do. I don't know that I believe everyone's story. And
yeah.
I don't mean that to sound super negative against anyone, but I do believe that there have been abductions and situations around some alien activities that I've read in the past that I definitely believe. Because my biggest belief, Jason, is that we are not alone, if you will. You know, we're not the only living, you know, creatures in the vast universe. So what does that mean? Okay, yeah, you know, somebody else, some entity or life form, if you will, that's, you know, living in a whole other universe, that I just believe that's possible, and they may have technology beyond ours, space travelers, if you will, time travelers, if you will, that are, you know, able to somehow get here. We haven't completely figured that out. At least that's what the government is telling us, other than we have been on the moon and Mars.
Or have we? That's another conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Have we? So, yeah, you know, I was also reading a story this evening. It was kind of long, so I didn't share it, but it was an alien story where these guys in 1994, they were in Florida, and they had gone to a lake called Okeechobee. I'm probably saying that wrong. It's an Indian name that means big lake, and they had gone to this lake to take a break from a stressful job they were having, and they were like standing by the lake, and they saw this, you know, light in the sky, and then it kept getting closer and closer, and it got so close to them, you know, they could see, you know, it was a disc-type craft. And, I mean, they explained it in great detail in their article that they had written. And then they talked about, all of a sudden, it was like, you know, they'd lost track of time. Not like days or weeks, but like hours. But they didn't piece all this together until a few days later. Like the two guys and were talking, and they suddenly realized, like one moment they were standing at the lake with a drink in their hand. And there was a little house they were kind of staying at by this lake. And then the next thing they remember is they were in the house, and they don't even know what they were doing, you know. And so they pieced this all together, and then somehow remembered about the spaceship, and that they didn't feel negative about it. They weren't completely sure what happened, but they had some sort of, you know, feeling, good feeling about it. And again, I'm not explaining it in full detail. It was kind of a long story. And I've read other stories or experiences like that from other people where they've said, yeah, you know, there I was, and then I lost track of time. And some people, and Misha talked about this, you've talked about it, you know, where it'll be like a week later, and what happened? And you know, some stories are more extravagant than others. So I don't know, you know, it's a mystery. I don't know what types of aliens, or I kind of hate calling them aliens. I kind of like to call them, you know, life, different, you know, life forms, and, you know, what kind of powers or abilities they have, or I don't know. I don't think it's like Star Trek, but, you know, so many creatures, or like Star Wars, but I don't know. You know, it's a vast universe, I think, that we're a part of, and there's got to be more
up,
out there,
Scotty,
than just us.
Yeah, I've lived it. I I'm a very analytical, skeptical person, but I've seen some things that, yeah, I can't explain. And I've been with other people, and I've found evidence. So.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to believe that they do exist, but not
one of the things that Misha talked about too that was interesting was that some of the people that have been abducted, or they have, for lack of a better word, relationship with some of these other life forms, is that that person is a starseed, and that means that the human has alien DNA in them.
Well, if anybody has alien DNA, I do. I mean, you know, you've seen me in person, Pat.
Yes, see, there you go.
How about the ugliest thing you ever saw?
Well, no way. But so that's a whole nother, you know, topic of conversation, and that.
Yeah, how ugly,
yeah,
I am.
Know, like,
that's a whole nother topic of conversation.
Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, how do you get alien DNA? Wow, you know, that to me, that would mean that person had been alive for, you know, maybe, I guess, you know, different life forms. I mean, that gets really complicated. That, you know, if you were an alien at one time, what, do aliens live forever, or are you carrying around this DNA in your soul and you reincarnate? I mean, oh my gosh, it's so confusing, Jason.
Well, and I want alien DNA, but I want like powers with it. You know, I want to like be able to move stuff with my mind, and
yeah,
I want to be like
powers.
Carry. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like be able to fly or something, like Superman.
Well, maybe I can. Maybe I do have flying power. I've never jumped out of a window. Hold on a second.
Well, don't try that.
Yeah,
yes,
maybe
we don't want to encourage our listeners to try something crazy like, let me see if I can fly.
Yeah, we need a disclaimer. We in no way, Paranormal Horizons does not encourage anyone to partake in hazardous activities to see if they have any kind of superpowers that they're unaware of.
That's right.
Don't try
this
at home.
Yeah. Now, gosh, Jason, this is the hour always seems to fly by, even though we didn't have a guest this evening, just kind of talking about events in the world. But I did want to mention we have a real interesting guest coming up next week.
Yes, we do.
A Reverend Robin Marie.
And she has done a lot. Did you look at her website?
Yeah, I didn't look at her website. I just was reading through the description that you sent me this evening. Mm-hmm. And not only is she an actress, and she's been in quite a few horror movies, she's a clairvoyant. And I have never heard of this photo. How do we say this? Photo scrying?
Scrying. Yeah, scrying.
And so what that means so far from what I know is she's able to look at a photo and pick up quite a bit of information. Is that
get
out of
that?
Had
anyone. Yeah, I don't think we've had anyone with that ability on the show yet, so it's going to be cool. We're just going to have to come up with some pictures that we're going to send her ahead of time so that she can do her thing, and then we'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah, so apparently when she looks at the picture, she's able to see live spirits that I'm assuming are just maybe hanging around the person. You know, maybe it's spirit guides or something like that. So definitely tune in for that show next week here on Paranormal Horizons, our regular time, 7 p.m. Pacific time. And, of course, on KITC-FM, 10 p.m. Pacific time. Also, Jason, I wanted to mention there is a fundraising campaign going on right now. It's going to go through November 17th. It's for a new radio station. This is community radio, nonprofit. It's KNCP. And the reason that we here at Paranormal Horizons like to promote these types of fundraising activities is community radio, our stations, they play shows like our show and other really great shows where local people are hosting their own radio shows. Sometimes it's music, sometimes it's talk, and it's a great opportunity for freedom of speech, if you will. So that's kickstarter.com. Just search for KNCP. Looking for donations of any kind. I mean, even $5 helps.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Oops.
Well, I'm just looking through my notes here, Jason, to see if there was anything else that I missed. Oh, again, I mentioned November 11th. That's kind of down the road, but we're going to have Isola. She wants to do a numerology reading on you, Jason.
I can't wait. Oh, and I need to send you that information.
But that's going to really be cool for anybody that wants to know about numerology. Please tune in to that show, November 11th with Isola, because she'll give us kind of the history of what numerology is, how it works, and she's just a great person. Looks like we've got a caller, Jason.
Last minute.
Shall we see who it is?
Sure. Go ahead and click it.
Okay, let me get the clicker here. Good evening. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Yes, hi. I'm having a problem, which what I believe is like a spirit that, I don't know, can they actually come through the electrical wiring, computer wiring, things like that?
We're getting trolled again. Sorry, sir. Thanks for calling.
What? That's all I said.
You're getting trolled again.
Yeah, we're getting troll bombed again. That's where a bunch of people that have nothing better to do call paranormal shows. But they make it really obvious because they all connect at the same time. So
yeah.
9 or 10 people just connected at the same time.
Yeah.
Nice try.
And, yeah, they're kind of coming in fast and furious now, Jason. But that's okay. It's our time to end the show, and we appreciate positive interest in Paranormal Horizons here. And we will tune in with you all next week. We hope that you join myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir. Good night, everyone.
Hey, Pat, one more thing.
Yeah.
Do you have the studio open? I can't close the episode because I have a dropped call.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I do believe that I should be able to figure out how to do that. You usually do it, but as I'm talking, I'm in the studio. And
well, when you have a dropped call, it gives you a blue warning. And it's I can't remove it because I can't see the X, and it's covering up the end episode, so I can't.
I got it
I can't
right
do
here.
Anything.
Yeah, no problem. So, yeah, everybody, thanks for bearing with us this evening. We had a little couple technical glitches at the beginning of the show, but we'll talk with you next week here on Paranormal Horizons.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.